let's get in our Bible in Psalm 37 tonight. We're just about to wrap this chapter up. I didn't write these things down, but we've been looking at several thoughts through the chapter. We've looked at the progression of faith. We're looking at faith versus fretting. And we've looked at the progression of faith. We've looked at the path of faith. We've looked at the promise of faith. We've looked at the power of faith. And I can't remember what the last one was now that we did look at. I've got a whole new outline for tonight. It was the protection of faith. And then one of them was the provision of faith. Miss Eve, I missed that one. And I may have missed another one, but anyway, came to the pulpit one Wednesday night and was going to share all that with you. And we kind of got bogged down a little bit. And we've been several Wednesday nights now in the chapter. I want to look down at verse 37 tonight where it says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." And verse 40, we'll get to it, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. But it said, "The Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." You have in this chapter being magnified those that are fretting, but then you have those that are believing, those that are believing God, those that have faith in God. And it's a blessing as we study this together. Let's pray just a moment. We'll start into this tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, I'm glad tonight when I say the Word of God, that's what we believe around here. It is the Word of the living God. There's not another. And Lord, we don't need another. We thank you, Lord, for this old book. Thank you for our King James Bible, Lord. Thank you for preserving the Word of God in the English language, Lord, in the King James Bible. And I pray, Father, that you'll use it now, tonight, the lesson. And God, that you'll just touch our hearts as we look at the Word of God together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I'm looking at tonight is the perfecting of faith. The perfecting of faith. The Bible said, "Mark the perfect man." Now, I looked up the word perfect here, and it comes from a Hebrew word, tamim. It means entire. It means integrity. It means truth. It means without blemish. It means complete, full, perfect, sincerity, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright, and whole. We know that the psalmist here, when he says, "Mark the perfect man," we know that he's not talking about, in a sense or in essence, a sinless man. Because how many of them are there in the world? None right now. There was one, and his name was Jesus. Amen. And we know that it's not talking about sinless perfection here as far as that man, but it is talking about a maturity. It's talking about a man that's upright. That's what the Bible said of Job, and we're going to see the Bible saying that of other men. It said that of Noah, that he was upright, that he walked with God. We'll see that in just a moment. A man that walks in integrity, a man that's full and sincere in his life, and complete. I was talking about sinless perfection. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, the only way that I've ever figured out that a man could live above sin, he said, would be to move in over top of a bar. He said, then that man be living above sin. And I guess there's some truth in that. But if you look at 1 John just a moment, I know you know these things tonight, but I just want to look at this. It just kind of introducing the message. If you look at 1 John chapter number 1, and I think it's good that we never forget these things, that these things are embedded in our mind. The writer John, he said in verse 5, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, he said we lie. So he's saying we're telling a lie. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness, we're lying and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He said if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Ask you a question tonight. To whom was that passage of Scripture addressed? Was that addressed to sinner folk, or was that addressed to God's folk, God's people? See where I'm coming from tonight? Amen. And we need to never, never forget that. Amen. The perfect man, let me give you several things tonight. First of all, the perfect man walks with God. The Bible said, mark the perfect man. In other words, one thing that I've tried to teach Abram, being in that prison culture, is that it doesn't matter where you go. It really doesn't. You say, well, in prison, there's a right crowd and a wrong crowd. How many knows I just told the truth? In prison, in church, it doesn't matter where you go. The job, there's a right crowd, a wrong crowd. There'll be a crowd that's critical. It doesn't matter where you go. There'll be a crowd that's a crowd of unbelievers. It doesn't matter where you go. But one of the things that I told Abram, and I didn't use this verse, but that's what I'm trying to encourage him to do, is mark the perfect man. Is look at that man that has a heart for God, and the chaplain is trying to help him that way, and that's a blessing. The perfect man walks with God. The Bible said in Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, we know that Noah made some mistakes, don't we? But the Word of God is teaching us here that Noah was a perfect man. He was one that you could pattern your life after. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1, the Bible said, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I believe tonight that Abram was another example here in the Word of God of a man that walked before God. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. I'll say this tonight. Where we walk and how we walk and how others observe us walk is important as we walk. Amen. And I believe that we need to walk with God. The Bible said, mark the perfect man. And the Bible said here in Psalm 101, verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will thou come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And what I like about that is, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about our public life, but here he says our private life. In my private life, I'm going to walk with God too. And somebody said one time that, you know, what you are in public, that's your reputation. But what you are in private, that determines really what your integrity and what your character is all about. You understand what I mean? When nobody's listening, I've thought many times, and I've not always done what's right in private, so to speak, or in public, but I thought many times about something that I heard a preacher say years ago. He said, you know, maybe you'd pick up that piece of trash if somebody's looking, but he said, would you pick it up if nobody's looking? In other words, would you have enough character, amen, to pick it up or just do what's right if no one is looking? And of course, we all know that as children of God, someone's always looking. Amen. Can't go nowhere without him seeing what's going on. In Psalm 101, in verse 6, he said, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So when he says, mark the perfect man, you're looking at a man that's going to walk with God. How many of y'all have known somebody in your life that as far as you looking at their life, you'd say so-and-so walks with God? Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? And I believe that's important. I believe we need that in this generation. Let me just go and say this. I may say a little bit more about it later, but I talked to this man that we've prayed for years and years and years. And he opened up in a way. The last time I talked to this man, I said, "Joe, have you ever been saved?" And it's just been last year. I got off the plane in Charlotte, North Carolina, and drove to Durham to see his son. He was in an apartment there going through chemotherapy, going through bone marrow transplants and all that. This young man weighed 245 pounds before he got sick. I doubt he weighs 120 right now. Amen. But I talked to his dad and I said, "Joe, have you ever been saved?" He said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Joe, what in the world's going on?" This is what he said. "I don't want to talk about it." I mean, just like that. He's the kind of man, you're wasting your breath. Matter of fact, you're going to do more damage than good if you say another word right there. If he looks at you and says you don't want to talk about it, I think what God did in my heart was good. He broke my heart. I just began to weep. I said, "Well, Joe, keep praying, and I love you." I mean, you can't hardly do anything with that, amen? But there was no use to press the issue. But I found out he's been a supervisor's position for years and years and years in the mines. He come up through the ranks, so to speak, and ended up being over a bunch of people in the mining industry. And I'm not saying this as a slam to anybody in this church. It ought to be a challenge to everybody in this church. But he said, "Rick, I watched preachers. I watched deacons. I watched people that went to church every Sunday." And I said, "You know what happened Sunday, Joe?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I quit watching them and I got my eyes on Jesus." Amen. But I'll say this tonight. Listen to me carefully. I believe this with all my heart, beloved. Listen, that's what happened in his life. But we've talked a little bit, and I said, "Joe," I said, "God help us as Christians." He was talking to me about the necessity to see in somebody's life. And that's what the Bible's talking about here, about a perfect man. That's a man that walks with God. And it's not something that he's telling you. A person that walks with God don't walk around saying, "I'm walking with God, I'm walking with God, I'm walking with God." No, it's just something that others observe. Amen. I've said for years, the person, whoever it is that's walking closest to God, don't know it. Because the closer you get to him, the more you understand that's wrong in your life and right in his life, and the more we're challenged to be like him. And I told Joe, I said, "Joe, God help us not to be a stumbling block. Help us to be a stepping stone to help somebody to Christ, not to hinder somebody from getting to Christ." And we were standing there in the road, and there's a little old pine tree about that big around, about as big around as that bottle, right there beside of us. And I said, "Joe, something I heard years ago that helped me." I said, "You have to be smaller than something to hide behind it." I said, "Me or you, neither one couldn't hide behind that pine tree. And so you can hide, you can try to hide behind this and hide behind that. But the reality is, we're sinners, he's the Savior. And when we get our eyes on him, amen, then there's hope of us walking with God." And I appreciated that. The perfect man walks with God. The second thing the Lord gave me as I begin to think about the perfect man is the perfect man worships God. You remember Job over in Job chapter 1? The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In Job 1:8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" Boy, that jumped out at me today. You think about that. Now listen, that wasn't Brother Ralph Roberts that said that about Job. That was the God of heaven. It said, there ain't another in the earth like him. Think about that tonight. You know, it was God that said, it was Jesus, so you can say the same thing, that said that about John the Baptist. "Among them that's born of women, there's not a greater than John." Amen. And so it carries a lot of weight. Here's a man that walked with God, eschewed evil, none like him in the earth. The Bible said a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I believe a man that is perfect according to the Word of God, that's matured, that has integrity. He's a man that walks with God, but he's a man that worships God. He's a man that in other words, he deems God worth. He's worthy of praise, worthy of worship, worthy of our time, worthy of our talent, worthy of all that we have and all that we are. Abraham, you remember, we said already that he walked with God. Remember what he said when he was going up on the mountain with his son, with Isaac? He told the servants, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and, does anybody know the next word? Worship and come again unto you. Oh, I tell you, there's a great statement being made right there. Abraham is saying, listen, we're going up there, that I serve a God that's worthy of my son. Amen. But we're going up there, but we're also coming back. Amen. That's another verse that goes with Hebrews when the Bible said that Abraham judged him faithful, that he was able to raise him from the dead. Amen. Yes, he intended to kill him, but he intended for God to raise him up because that was the seed. And he knew they were both coming down off of the mountain. We're going to go yonder and worship and come again. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord, think about this, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's God looking for? To show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Think about that tonight. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a teenager. He's looking for a child that has a heart for God and their heart is perfect toward him. That's a blessing tonight. The perfect man walks with God. The perfect man worships God. And I want to give you this. This is probably one of the most important things that we need to never forget tonight. The perfect man is a work of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's not something you can drum up yourself. And it's not something I can drum up myself. I tell you what, it's Christ in you. The hope of glory, amen. It's not something we can do without him, but it's something that he can do through us. The word of God said in Psalm 138 and 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. How many of you saved tonight? You know what you are? You're a work of the Almighty God in heaven's hands. Amen. The word of God said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't know about you tonight, but I realize tonight, everything bad about me, I'm responsible for it. Anything good about me, it's my Father that's working in me. I'm not responsible, beloved, for that, but it's because he's done a work in my heart, in my life. In Proverbs 11, the Bible said, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. Let me ask you something. Where did our righteousness come from? Did it come from our works, or did it come from Calvary's work? Did it come from a work of being redeemed and born again into the family of God, washed in the blood of Jesus? In Romans 3:25, the Bible said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 3:26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I'll tell you something, I believe with all my heart, there's too much proclaiming in our land of our righteousness and not enough proclaiming of his righteousness. Beloved, it's his righteousness that's got it started. It's his righteousness that'll see us through. And it's his righteousness that'll be the reason that we're in the city of God with him one day after a while. It's not ours. The Bible said in Psalm 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The disciple in Luke 6:40 is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In John 17:23, listen to what Jesus prayed. He said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Isn't that a blessing tonight? Listen, this perfection the perfecting that God does in the saints of God brings about a unity. It doesn't bring about a division. It brings people together and where Christ is the center of all that's going on in their hearts and in their lives. He said here, the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The Bible talked about till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Beloved, in 2 Corinthians, he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, a lot of times what God is doing, beloved, when we're going through the trials in this walk of life, it's just perfecting us. Amen. He's working on us. The little song said, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I say, hallelujah, how loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. Amen. If you're saved tonight, he's working on you. He's working in you. He's working through you. His righteousness tonight. The Bible said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, he said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. In Galatians 3:3, he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? How many knows how we got saved? In the Spirit. The Spirit of God spoke to us. The Spirit of God convicted us. And when we responded to the Spirit of God and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Spirit of the living God that birthed us into the family of God. And beloved, listen, I think it's a bad mistake to think, well, we started in the Spirit, but now we'll get up and do it ourselves. That's a mistake, amen. The perfecting that the Lord does is by faith and through the precious Holy Spirit of the Word of God. The Bible said in the perfect man is a work of God. He works on us through his Word. The Bible said, as for God, his way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. You remember in Romans 10:17, it said, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God works on us. His Word, he works on us through his Word. I believe it's important to stay in the Word. James 1:22 said, but be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But listen to this. But whoso looketh into, here's the word, perfect law of liberty. Aren't you glad? Thank God he's perfecting us as we look in this perfect law of liberty. He's helping us. He's maturing us. And we can go on our way with him. In Isaiah, the Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He works on us not only through his word, but he works on us while we wait. The word of God said, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How many believes there's a day right around the corner when he's coming? Amen. And while we wait, he's going to continue to work on us. I told Joe the other day when I was talking to him, he and I and his wife went for a walk. I said, Joe, God didn't just save you to take you to heaven. I said, if he did, he'd have knocked you in the head Sunday and just took you on to heaven the moment you got saved. I said, he has a work for you to do. He's 68 years old. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a miracle. Amen. I said, it's a miracle. Amen. Jim that was with us on Sunday, 81 years old when he got saved. He's 82 now. His wife was 78. I say it's a miracle. Amen. You look at the statistics. Not too many people that pass 30 years old get saved by the grace of God. And the older they get, the fewer they get. But God's still in the miracle working business. The perfect man is waiting on perfection. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I'm talking about complete perfection. I'm talking about being like him, seeing him as he is. The Bible said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. We're striving tonight, but we're not there yet. Listen to what probably one of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather said. Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Well, Brother Rose, if he wasn't perfect, where's that leave me and you? Amen. If there was a perfection yet to come in the life of the Apostle Paul, where does that leave you and I? I corrected it, Miss Eve. Amen. You and me. Amen. She's over there mouthing to me. Amen. There's one thing I can do without help, and that's destroy the English language. Amen. But where does that leave us tonight? Amen. If the Apostle Paul said, I've not attained, I'm not there yet. But he said this, he said, if I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. You remember said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing that way. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the word of God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. We're interested in walking with God if we have that hope in us. We're interested in God continuing that work that he's begun in us if we're, beloved, looking for Jesus to come. The end of that man. Look with me, if you will, back in Psalm chapter number 37. In the end of that man, the Bible said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. People have witnessed to Joe for years and years and years and years. Witnessed, prayed. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know this. I didn't ask him point blank. But I believe there's something that had a great deal in him coming to know the Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, what's that? His 35-year-old son laying there in the bed with a peace, Brother Rose, that passes all understanding. He knows when he's looking at his son, when he's listening to his son, that what his son has is real. I'm going to tell you something. God's people die well. Amen. Beloved, mark that perfect man, the upright, the end of that man, I promise you this, is peace. You can mark that down. Amen. He's going home, and he's going home in peace. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank the Lord for the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, tonight there's a lot of things I don't know, a lot of things I haven't gotten right in my life. But I tell you, there's one thing I got right. The Savior of the world is Jesus. I met him, I accepted him, and I know that when it comes my time to leave this world, I'm going where he is. I'm going to be like him. I'm going where his people are. I know that I'm not going to hell, amen. I know I'm going to heaven, because it's not my righteousness that's going to determine it. It's his righteousness that's in me. The Bible said, mark the perfect man. I hope tonight something's been said that's been a blessing to you. The Bible said here, behold the upright. In other words, a lot of people say, well, God's not looking on the outside of the man. He's looking on the heart. That's true. But the Bible told us to mark the perfect man. He told us to look on the outside. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean. But there's sometimes I see things right here in the house of God that makes me plumb ashamed. I'm going to tell you, if the inside's right, it ought to have an effect on the outside. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I ever come in here to preach, and I got holes drilled everywhere, and a tank top on, Somebody ought to know something's happened to Pastor. Say amen. Amen. I just believe tonight what's on the inside of you and I ought to shine on the outside. We need to be patient with people. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I've already talked to my wife. There's going to be some instructing going on. If it's not received, then it's not received. It'll be done in love. The Bible said, let the older women instruct and teach the younger women. If it's not received, I can't help it. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that God is still in the modesty business. And God is still in the business of honoring Him and walking with Him and working on us and perfecting us. Amen. There's something wrong in my life and one of you men speak to me about it and I get mad. It ain't your problem. It's mine. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. And I believe tonight that as parents, one of the things that we've missed in this generation is we're afraid. We'd rather be our youngin's friend than we would their parent sometimes. And it don't work that way. Amen. God calls us first to be a parent. Amen. And then if we can, we can be a friend. I didn't mean to say all that, but it done did. And it's a truth. Amen. It's a truth. I mean, it's glad you're here tonight. Glad you're saved tonight. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen.